Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. You know, Charlie, I used to think there are two kinds of people on the planet, those that go to Dragon Con and those that are afraid of people that go to Dragon Con. I was firmly in the latter camp for the longest time.
What made you afraid of Dragon Con?
Freakazoids.
Full disclosure, I have never been to Dragon Con.
Oh, my God. Have you ever been to Comic Con?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
And I don't think I will ever.
Well, I used to say that, too.
It's not fear, though. I do want to point that out.
What is it? Allergies?
Misanthropic ecstasy.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that one.
I am not a big fan of festivals. I'm not a big fan of large groups of people.
Yet you go to unconferences and...
Those are small groups of people.
And fat camp. No, sorry, it's that camp. I can't resist
saying should go to fat camp.
Yeah, went to that camp. Don't tell me you don't go to conferences. You go to conferences. You give talks at conferences. What are you talking about?
Okay, let's take your argument in two pieces. An unconference is a small conference, a small number of people.
Dragon Con is rather large.
Say 40 at most was the group I was in.
Like 20,000 here?
Exactly.
That's a lot.
And two, just because I give talks at conferences doesn't mean I like it. I mean, a big part of OP. This is an afternoon podcast, everybody. So just so you know,
it's a little later. I've only had one Red Bull today.
One of us might fall asleep during the recording. You know, it's part of professional development. It's part of being the librarian that I want to be, which is why I present at conferences. But it's very hard to have a good time at a conference. I mean, you really there's an art to experiencing a conference. There's an art to going to the right,
experiencing just enough so you learned and had new experiences but didn't burn yourself out.
Yeah.
Usually involves drinking in the evening.
To rejuvenate during the conference.
Got to sharpen the saw at night. You know, do something a little fun at night and then come back ready to learn.
So I don't know that I could ever attend a Dragon Con.
Well, let me go through the incorrect attitudes I had about Dragon Con. I thought Dragon Con was just a bunch of weirdos. Well, it is a bunch of weirdos, but let's face it, you and I would not be sanity poster children.
What did you say, 20,000 people?
I don't know, something like that. It's pretty big.
Let's just pretend it's 20,000.
Comic Con is much bigger.
If you get 20,000 people together, you're going to have some weirdos. Yeah. If 1% of the population is weird, and just weird, not like bad, but just weird, that means you have 200 weirdos out of 20,000.
Right, and if you look at the fan
and clearly,
tracks,
more than 1% of the population is weird.
You know, a nice good the first one right on the list, the alternate history track.
There's an alternate history track.
Yeah, and this would probably include people like steampunk.
Before you get too deep into that, what's a track?
So tracks, these are themes. So you'll have themes. So they will have a director program, a track. I first got involved many, many years ago with the science track. Did you know there was a science track?
I did. You've told me about it.
There is also Skeptics Track, and I've met the former director of the Science One and the current director of the Skeptics Track. There's a science fiction track. There's a robotics track.
How many presentations or events make up a track?
I don't know, because very often with this one, they don't have the final schedule out until just a couple days before.
Can you estimate?
I don't know. I'm not an expert. Let me go to the robotics and maker fan track, and my colleague Lou Lefton was interested in this one because... you know, maker fairs and maker communities, this is very, very interesting.
It does seem like Dragon Con has left the dragon part behind a long time ago.
No, the dragon part's still there. It's just this plethora of topics now. And they're all related to sort of weird, geeky scientific stuff. But some of them are quite good. I am a huge fan of the science track.
But weird, geeky scientific stuff, that's not what dragon represents. Like, dragon is the fantasy part. Like, just
it is, but they still
Dungeons and Dragons. Game of Thrones dragons, spoiler alert. If they haven't started the series yet.
Another track would be the American sci-fi and fantasy media.
Right. Like, that's more Dragon Con.
Anime, manga. Is it manja? I don't know what it is. I think that's Italian for
manja
eat.
Manja would be eat, yeah. I actually, now that you've said it, I don't know.
I know what anime is, but let's go to the track, Jim.
M-A-N-G-A is the printed book.
Are those graphic novels?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I like graphic novels. Who doesn't like a good graphic
manga?
Novel?
Manga? Is it manga? It's not manga. It's manga. Maybe. I don't know.
But it's manga as opposed to, what is it? Is it hentai? That's the dirty version of anime.
Dirty doesn't even begin to describe it.
It's dirtier than dirty?
I mean, what's dirty these days? Like, I can hear music and think, that's kind of a dirty groove. Because, you know, I'm an old guy. And so now that's what I...
Right, so...
You know, now a fat bass groove is kind of sexy. And so hentai is just filth.
Okay. There you go. So they don't have a section on that, which is
filth
nice.
Filth has its purpose. Filth is not a judgment call for me. It's not like, this is filth, and so it should not
exist. Designed to make
me
feel better about my life? Is that it?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's just filth filth to make you confused and sad and weird and turned on and, you know.
All right, let's move on from that.
To create a rough experience for you.
They have, for example, Electronic Frontiers forums, fantasy literature... the film track, the horror track.
Are you sure you don't want to keep talking about cartoon porn?
No, not really. I did, so the Anime Weekend, which is also hosted here, the Atlanta Anime Weekend, actually has tracks on hentai.
Anime
the only reason I know what it is I listen to it.
It's just animation, right? Anime is animation.
Anime is a particular style, it's a particular style of adult animation, meaning it's more mature themes.
Adult, is it?
But it's not Bugs Bunny. It's not wacky and silly. It is done in sort of a dark style that came out of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be. You can, you know, so MomoCon, for example, which is another Atlanta thing that used to be held here at right in the Student Center, Georgia Tech.
You know how sometimes you stop me and you say, now you're just making up things?
No, MomoCon is real. I've been there.
How many conferences? I mean, what else have you got?
Okay. I want to talk about MomoCon to give the impression that I'm actually cool because, where do I go? Next month I'm going to the American Chemical Society meeting. I'm going to the State of Wyoming Gifted and Talented Student Summit. I'm going to the Applied Improvisation Network meeting in Austin. That'll be cool. But I go to things like the American
travel.
Physical Society.
Why all the travel all of a sudden?
I'm just giving some talks at places, so...
Is summer your season for talks?
No, actually, a lot of these are in November and December.
Okay.
But I go to boring places. So the reason I went to MomoCon and Anime Weekend is because my daughter went there. And she was younger. She was like in elementary school and middle school. And I can't just pack her off to one of these weirdo conferences. So I went with her and I explored. And I realized, well, that's not so bad. These people aren't so crazy.
What are these people?
People that like anime.
MomoCon is anime?
MomoCon is anime and a little fantasy and a little cosplay. You know what cosplay is, right?
Costume play.
Yeah. So people dress up. And I think I've told this story before, right? My favorite thing was the first time I went to Atlanta Anime Weekend or Weekend Anime Atlanta or whatever it is. And unfortunately, the way I learned what hentai was is I attended a scholarly lecture on
it. You stumbled into it?
Yeah. No, but it wasn't like, here's some samples. It was some academic giving a scholarly lecture on the anthropological origins of hentai. I'm like, fascinating.
Can you sum that up?
No, I don't remember any of it. Okay. I think I had some notes or I was recording. I was working on my laptop or something. I was just killing time before lunch.
Why are we talking about all this?
We're talking about this because
you don't know.
No, I certainly got the impression that DragonCon is a useful vehicle for science and technology outreach.
Why?
For STEM education.
Why?
I didn't think it was because the very same people that are fascinated by the fiction side of things, you know, warp drive and the transporter, also think about the realistic version of this. And they think about it with in mind of, you know, what is the next thing that is science fiction now but will be science tomorrow.
So Dragon Con, I alluded to earlier the dragon, dragon convention. It
was in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Is that where it comes from?
I don't know for sure. All right. I am no expert on Dragon Con, but I believe it was based out of fantasy and mm-hmm. the kind of geek culture that is pointed toward fantasy fiction, fantasy role-playing, and things like that. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's where it started. And, you know, people like science fiction. They like to dress up like a Wookiee and march in the parade.
Science
fiction
and fantasy get stuck together.
They do.
A lot.
They do.
Do you think that's right?
Sure, why not?
Well, I have many reasons why not. I mean...
All right, lay it on me, dude.
Maybe I don't. don't they feel different to you? I mean, why do we call it science fiction and why do we call it fantasy if we're just going to say it's kind of all one thing? Fantasy posits a world of magic, right? And science fiction posits a world of advanced technological advancements, future technological advancements. But there's a big overlap. Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it's, is it because there is a lot of science fiction now that is actually fantasy, like warp drives and time travel?
Yeah, and, you know, so fantasy, I think, more where they're not even trying to make it a possibility in a few millennia. It's, you know, Tolkien. It's the dwarves and the elves and the things. So maybe they shouldn't. And they have them separate, for example. So
the literature of the fantastic is one thing, right? Okay. And the literature of the technological is another, alternate history.
So, for example, there's a new movie coming out. Gosh, I can't remember what it is. Isn't that bad? It's about a woman that they somehow treat with some drug or something. Lucy. Okay. And who does it star?
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. So they get her, so instead of using 10% of her brain, she can use 15, 20, 30. And, you know, Morgan Freeman, who's my favorite science nerd.
Casually, I'd want to toss this out. That whole 10% of the brain thing is bullshit, and we all know that.
It depends what how you define as use.
Right.
You are correct. That's a bit of an interpretation. But we certainly don't use 100.
Don't you think you've used 100% of your brain at one point or another?
At various times,
yeah.
Right? We don't parallel process it all, yeah. Right? But the point is, it's an interesting thing. What if
it's kind of like saying, you know, you only use a 5-foot square of your house.
At one time, that's where I am.
Exactly. And, you know, and some of the stuff we're talking about is like the crawl space. Which
So we're never going to have this thing where suddenly, you know, it's just like, she uses more than 10% of her brain. At 20%, she can control her cells. At 35%, she can control, you know, other things. At 45%, she control other people. What happens at 100%? We're all in deep trouble. You know,
does she have a kind of cooling helmet to stop the...
good point, because if it were processing, those all require a chemical reaction. They are often exothermic, and this is why we have to cool processors, you know, CPUs. No, she doesn't have a cooling helmet. She just...
She just has a movie.
But...
So is that science fiction? That's more
fantasy. Yeah, that's science fiction, but it's bordering on fantasy as opposed to the one with Bradley Cooper. What was that one called?
It was a drug.
What was that one called?
Mm.
Because let's be honest.
I've reached the end of my movie memory.
A drug that makes you amazingly focused and more productive. We have weaker versions of that now. They're called ADHD drugs. Yeah, so Limitless with Bradley Cooper.
And the conceit was that it helped him use more of his brain and the colors got brighter and there were glittery moments in his vision and all that.
But think about it. If you wrote a screenplay... you know, 30 years ago or 40 years ago, about people that carried these devices that kept them connected to the entire world.
Yeah, it would be a Star Trek movie, and a large company. And those would be called tricorders. Your phone is a tricorder.
I think it's a tricorder and a communicator. It's both. Let's see if it works. He's dead, Jim. And then, you know, there was some insidious company like Google that was taking data on
Stop
you.
Stop, Pete. Yeah. Sidebar. All right. Do you prefer the new bones or the old bones?
I like them both. I like the new bones.
Who do you like better?
DeForest Kelly or who's the new guy?
Carl Urban.
I like them both because I think DeForest Kelly was way ahead of his time in snarky sarcasm. There were very few TV drama shows where the guy's like, what the hell am I doing here? He was the dude. And he had a very serious look about him. He was a little Howard Cosell looking, but he's like, Jim, you're full of crap.
And the new guy?
But the new guy, you know, I think he captures that well. Probably in a more realistic fashion, right? Everything's more realistic nowadays, but he's good. They capture it well. But he still has that, damn it, Jim, I'm just a doctor. If you hook up with that green alien from Rigel 7 one more time, there's nothing I can do for you. But I think a lot of the people that do science and technology engineering like science fiction and fantasy. So it's just a common experience.
That's not been my
It hasn't.
My sense of things.
Are there, like, cheerleaders that are popular people that like Star Trek? The Next Generation?
Whoa, is that what you... I'm sorry. Which point are you making? That the people who do like fantasy and science fiction are more inclined towards science? Or that people who like science are inclined towards science fiction and fantasy? Because I don't think the second is true. I don't think that there is a huge proportion of, say, our faculty members here who are totally into it.
Oh, au contraire. There are guys in the School of Chemical
Engineering
who shall remain nameless.
There are.
Who I see at Dragon Con.
But what about the high percentage? What about, I mean, this is what I'm talking about.
You're right.
I don't think.
But here's the deal. If it's people that like steampunk and stuff like that, that then become interested in the laws of thermodynamics and heat transfer relevant to having an entire society run by steam power, that's just great for outreach. You're learning about thermodynamics and mechanical engineering because the idea of a steam-powered leaf blower appeals to you. I never understood that, by the way.
Do you think that it's the science that's appealing to these folks, or is it the sex and thrill that surrounds it? And I'm not calling it porn.
The sex and thrills, stay for the science.
Steampunk is sexy. Fantasy is often sexy. Again, I sound like I'm just saying, oh, yeah, you know, people, you know, romance. I just mean that overall, it's fun, it's dangerous, it's story, it's narrative. You know, I heard that the...
But it's science-oriented narrative.
It's oriented, but...
So you push them over the edge, and boom, you've got the second law of thermodynamics.
That Breaking Bad fans are all interested in chemistry? I don't think they are.
I think some people did become interested
in
chemistry.
They might. Some people might have.
Certainly CSI, people got interested in chemistry.
Yeah.
Look, I'll take 5%. I mean, there is a war on. It is a war for the hearts and minds of the future scientists and engineers in this country. And we've got to do what we can.
Is it important?
Never in the course of human history.
Is it important for us to just take little bites out of everything and try and, you know, get people to be into science? Or are we looking for the culture change?
I think we're looking for the culture change, and the tipping point at the culture change is Dragon Con. Because when I give a talk on science in your everyday life in the science track at Dragon Con, which I did a few years ago, these people could not get enough. They were fascinated. They were asking questions.
Let me try my point again. Isn't the human joy in narrative and the desire to live vicarious lives? Isn't that what people are drawn to? And because you're into the science of it, or because you're into the fantasy of it, or because you're into the murder mystery of it, is ancillary to the joy of the narrative.
It may be, but if it gets you involved in this ancillary topic of science and applied science, that's a good thing for society.
I think I'm cranky about this. I think that there are better ways to do it.
There may be, but this is already in place, and I don't have to put on Dragon Con. Dragon Con's
like
already there.
A remora.
I am a lamprey eel. I will suck the life out of Dragon Con in hopes of just getting a few folks interested in majoring in
from within
science and engineering or other related things like STAC at Georgia Tech. I am going to go there, and on Saturday, August 30th at 10 o'clock, probably in the Skeptics track, we will be doing an appearance of the Geekabalooza Comedy Tour. I will show up with brochures about programs at Georgia Tech.
Do you think there will be people dressed like werewolves in the Skeptics track?
Of course, because I gave a talk
who enjoyed Insidious.
You know, applications of polymer science in your everyday life. And there was a woman in the front row asking me all sorts of interesting questions. She was an electrical engineer, and she was dyed completely purple with big butterfly wings. And she goes, well, okay, what about the corrosive properties of that particular polymer or something like that? And she was just very engaged, smart.
Did she have that sort of surfer dude accent?
No, she didn't, but it makes the joke sound better. She was painted blue, for God's sakes. And I'm just like, she's painted blue. Once I got over that, we had a very interesting discussion that benefited both us and the rest of the people there. They were fascinated. They can't get enough.
Those particular people.
Yeah.
Here is my cynicism. These small percentages of folks at Dragon Con who are interested in your particular presentation, like 40 people, you said?
Actually, I've never seen rooms so packed. We had 90 people in every talk. Whereas if you go to the American Chemical Society, you're lucky to have the six speakers and two other folks.
I'm not trying to diminish you by number, but 90. So say you talked to 200 people. You talked to 1% of 20,000. And I now I'm starting to think that 20,000 is not the number of people who attend DragonCon.
No, it's probably more like 8,000, 10,000. Because I think the American Chemical Society is typically 14, 15,000, and it fills up many, many hotels. And the same is true of this this educational.
But also the way people come to DragonCon is they dress up and they walk around. They're not even part of the conference, right? I mean, that's part of what the joy of DragonCon is the cosplay.
Can march in the parade without ever buying a ticket to DragonCon, which is fine.
You got to build your Stormtrooper outfit.
Right, but you cannot attend these tracks. And not all the tracks are William Shatner autographing pictures of himself. Some of them are.
Surely it's Katie Sackhoff now.
Who's
Starbuck from the new Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, but it's all those people. Shatner still comes. Nimoy comes once in a while. The old school people like to get him. But, yeah, it's all the new people from the – how many doctors have we had? Like 97? I think it's like 14 or something. But
so the piecemeal, you know, enticing people with STEM, I mean, why is that your problem? Shouldn't you just focus on the people who are around you? And you know, if everyone is doing these little piecemeal things, right, why are you loading the STEM outreach onto everything you do? Shouldn't you just do what you love?
Go to DragonCon and tell nerd jokes. You know, and it's not like I'm doing it for free. We have to buy tickets. That's something we have an issue with. So they do have a limited number of free passes, and they're, you know, that's reserved for William Shatner and those guys. Local comedians who are going to entertain people for free don't usually get that. So I sent out an email this morning once we got our time slot to my comedians in the Geekapalooza Comedy Tour. I said, I have good news and I have bad news. Good news is somebody canceled. We got a 10 p.m. 90-minute spot to do nerd comedy on Saturday at DragonCon. Saturday and Friday. I mean, these are party times. It'll be a good time. We did it a few years ago, and it was a blast because the guys next door had a parallel session on beer brewing. As part of the science track.
And people were walking with beer.
They had 200 bottles of microbrewed beer. And I simply walked in. I knew the guy that was running. I said, dude, can I get some beers for the comedians? And I just grabbed an armful and walked next door.
So do you do anything different because you're thinking about STEM education and outreach? Or do you just do your thing and then after you can look back and say...
It's a little bit different, yeah.
What's different?
So I'll sort of mention, you know, folks at tech and things like that. I'll refer to my literature and things like that. And then I'll tell a lot of jokes about, you know, stereotypes of people that are scientists or that sort of thing. So it's only a little bit different.
And you wouldn't do that if you were just telling nerd jokes at DragonCon?
Yeah, because I can get up and tell non-nerd jokes. But if it's official Georgia Tech Geekapalooza Comedy Tour event, we try to include some nerd jokes. So in August...
And Geekapalooza just... always is STEM outreach?
No. We went to the Sweetwater 420 Festival. No, the line is blurred. Let me admit to that. But I am always, and not all my comedians are. We have a lot of Georgia Tech students, right? So there are, you know, one former and three current Georgia Tech students that perform with us. And they're just probably thinking about, you know, meeting people.
I think I know what my problem is.
You only have one problem? I think you have
just
many.
Just one. I think I've decided on the problem I'm going to talk about. You said the lines are blurred, and blurred lines, both in our professional and academic identities, and the Robin Thicke song, are very similar. I mean, they're both.
Oh my God! If you can bring these two together, you are a god.
They're compelling, and they're quite catchy, right? But at their core, they are corrupt and awful.
I'm gonna go cry in the corner in a fetal position.
I have been recently. Deeply sad and frustrated about the blurred lines of my professional identity, my academic identity.
We're basically in the thick of it now, because isn't this podcast part of that?
Yeah, I mean, a
little
bit.
Blurred lines, we're just rambling on.
I hope that consilience, the intersection of arts and science and the humanities, that it's an intersection, it's where they cross, On their way to their eventual goals, but it's when, you know, things are starting to rub up against them. Against
but that's
each other
what DragonCon is, because you take this science fiction fantasy narrative that people are engaged by. They
I'm
like
sure
it,
Dragon
and
Con
I use
is
it
quite fun
in a clandestine way to whip a little STEM outreach on them.
I feel
clearly an intersection
as an individual. I am distressed by
because I'm
not,
pimping myself out.
No,
I admit that.
I don't
I make no apologies.
Care
for
what you do, Pete. You know that.
Okay.
You could fall over and get run over by a bus for all I care.
It's nice to know you care. All right. Is there a point in here? Are you just whining?
I am whining.
Why are you disturbed? Why are you sad?
I don't know. I want some coherence and cohesiveness to the things I'm trying to accomplish.
There is no end of the rainbow. There isn't like, oh, they rub up against each other, and then in the end, it will just be pure theoretical physics
okay.
that every
Don't
person
take
who watches
Judy Garland away from me. Okay. And also, I look at my board. You know, I have a board in my office that has all the stuff on it, right?
You get a lot of weird stuff on the board.
I think I need to have only 12 things on the board.
I agree with that.
And I got like.
I have way too many. My boards have just the ramblings of a madman. I have two boards, and they're just like.
First mistake.
Potato cheese head. What does that mean?
erase that. If it's been too long, you haven't done anything to it. But I was looking at my board yesterday, and I really just felt like I gotta condense this down. I gotta do one thing and do it really well. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing just one thing. I'm all over the place.
But here's the deal. So I sent this email out to my Geekapalooza colleagues. I said, hey, you know, if you're willing to, I think a day pass is like $65. Might as well spend $115 and get the 4 days. And some of the guys I sent this out to, they're nerds. They're going anyway. My friend Viet Nguyen, unless he's out of town, he's going.
Especially you found them a gig that they can do while
yeah,
they're
exactly.
at something
no, it's
they
good
like.
Exposure. It's fun. It'll be a great audience. Yeah. We did it before. It's a great audience.
Hot crowd.
But I forget the point I was trying to make.
You're talking about
yeah,
money.
Here's the deal. So I copied Lisa Yazyk over in Literature, Media, and Communication, right?
That's right. Remember, it's not cultured anymore.
Because Lisa is out there almost every year, and we interviewed her once in the science track on science fiction.
She's
and
a science fiction scholar.
Yeah.
That's
so there
deal.
Are science fiction
Wasn't
tracks.
She president
she's
of
there.
The science fiction scholars
I'm
of America.
Sure she was. Yeah. But she's at DragonCon. She's doing stuff. And I wrote, Lisa, we need to figure out all the people that are doing something at DragonCon and have a little press release on it, communications know about it. Because this is where it comes in handy. There will be a guy who will be looking at Georgia Tech. And someone who was accepted to Princeton or Harvard or Berkeley or something like that. A brilliant student who would do great things. And they'll go, well, it's Georgia Tech. They're kind of nerds. They're kind of geeky. Who knows? Maybe he's local. Maybe he's in town. He goes to DragonCon. He says, oh, my gosh, there are people that come in to DragonCon that talk about the value of science fiction in informing science research, like Lisa Yazyk. Or there are guys who will make jokes about what it's like to be a scientist and use that in their narrative to help do STEM outreach. And they'll say, that's just cool. And they'll go here instead of Harvard. And nothing against Harvard. It's a fine institution. They do great stuff. But we've got to compete. We've got to get students like that.
Why do we have to compete? Doesn't that just make
now
us
you're
salesmen?
Going to the very core. We are. We're out there. Have you watched television and seen the ads for all these universities? People are pimping themselves out.
I have not.
We actually have a good product, I think. There are a lot of these for-profit universities that right. do not, and they're just getting you to spend your GI Bill
money.
That's
what I'm talking about. I mean, if we just
that's
have
bad.
A,
that is corrupt.
We
there,
have a
no
good
doubt.
Product,
yeah.
and we shouldn't even think of this as a product, right? I mean, Georgia Tech should sell itself if it needs to be sold.
Yeah.
Don't you feel a little bit corrupt, a little bit not devious, but don't you feel wrong? Trying to
do I feel dirty like I need to shower afterwards
or like you've been reading hentai all day I mean when you have to
do they have that in readable form I guess they do
in order to get some jackass who thinks that Harvard is the place he wants to go he's going to see a comedian and be like oh Georgia Tech I'll go there it's much cheaper I mean what's the
no
it's not
I do this because I like to tell jokes in front of strangers
right. Couldn't you just
so
tell
if I'm
the
doing
jokes?
It, might as I could,
couldn't
I could, but then it would
be
a hobby,
a great joke teller,
and I couldn't also.
There's a name for that, isn't there?
A comedian.
Couldn't you just be a great comedian, Pete? And never, I mean, and when people find out it's you,
I could,
and you're at Georgia Tech. I mean,
I believe the government calls it dual use.
Why
you can develop something for both civilian and military applications?
Selling stuff. Like why are we trying to get people interested in STEM?
Because
I'm
passionate about this. I'm passionate about the use of STEM for unorthodox and informal applications like humor.
Don't you want to just do three things and do them really well?
I don't do anything really well, so I better do about
you
nine
do
or
all
ten.
This stuff. But what if you only did three things?
Okay.
Two things. Most people can't do three things really well.
I'm not sure I can do one thing really well. Well, here's the deal. I'd have to quit my job to just do the comedy really well.
And?
I also like teaching and I like research, so I mix them together.
But you're
and
bad
you
at
know,
at least two of those.
Probably three. Lisa Jancic, I mean, she doesn't do science fiction because it's her job or because she wants to go to Dragon Con. She does science fiction because she's passionate about science fiction. That's her love. She loves science fiction. I understand that. I think science fiction is totally cool.
And you love comedy.
I love comedy and all in all its applications.
What would make it easier doing all these extra things? What?
Here's the question. If I won the lottery tomorrow, would I quit my job and never teach or do research again? The answer is no.
Huh.
I wouldn't. I would form a company where I do that, maybe.
You wouldn't teach here. You would teach elsewhere.
Well, I would be interested in the development of humor
you would mess
to
with
improve
the theory,
technical
right?
education, communication, and innovation. I would mess with the theory. So I might actually do that as a company. I might actually stay here. Yeah, I wouldn't just be a stand-up comedian.
I would just do radio. If I won...
That's okay.
If I won $1 billion.
Yeah. I mean, even like $20 million. Well, come on, you don't need $1 billion.
No, you got to win $1 billion because after taxes, that's like, what, $200 million?
No, it's still... It's still
yeah, but I would be out of here like a shot.
All right, I hope nobody from the library staff is listening.
I don't think that the amount
I don't think they'd
money,
hold you against
yeah,
them.
I mean, come on, yeah. I'm pretty sure that most everybody...
I might
there,
be, but I don't think so.
I guess I'm just not feeling it today. I feel
you're
like...
You're more depressed than I am. I'm the upbeat dude. I'm tired, but
I'm glad to help.
We all get that way some days, though.
I just want... I'm tired of the intersection of things. I mean, just to play off the title, I just want to do one thing and be great at it. Because I think I can if I'm just doing the one thing.
You think you could do radio and be great?
I mean, I hope that I'm not saying, man, if I could just concentrate on the band.
I think you're already great, Clarice.
I know that in 4 years of doing one show, Lost in the Stacks, the one and only Research Library rock and roll radio show.
Fridays at noon on WREK.
91.1 in Atlanta. Or WREK.org, streaming worldwide.
Yeah.
I've gotten good in 4 years. I've gone from amateur to experienced amateur. And I think that just if I did it 50...
Well, that's on the cutting edge.
If I did it 50 hours a week, 50 years.
I'm going to an insane man who lives in a cardboard box and a guy who can sit still in the studio without scratching his butt every 3 seconds.
It is longer than 3 seconds.
Okay.
I would like to just focus on... I was talking to Ira Glass for that an interview at once.
Now he's name dropping.
It's not a name drop. I did
That's
interview
okay.
Ira
you
Glass
can drop
with Maria
names.
Sotnikova, the yeah. ex-program director of REC, one time. But I have found ways to reference it hundreds of times since. But in the conversation with Ira Glass, he said, no, I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Tumblr. The only things I want to say, everything I need to do, all my need for creative expression come out of the show.
Okay. That's cool.
And it filled my heart with light. I wanted to be like that.
But you have to be the one that's so popular that you can make a living off of it. And part of that is talent and ability and dedication, but part of it's luck. I mean, I think there are a lot of... I mean, I don't think Rush Limbaugh is that intelligent or insightful
We've
or
talked
talented.
Before, the man can speak for 3 hours straight. That's the talent.
That's it? So I could just go, the me, talent, me, me, mo, it, mo, 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 well, me, 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 me.
That's not speaking, is it?
Ho, 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 ho. I wonder if it kind of sounds like Jabba the Hutt.
Ho, ho, Okeechobee, folksy.
That was pretty good, the Java. It was terrible, Rush Limbaugh.
I think they're one and the same.
So what's the moral of the story here?
The moral of the story is Charlie's depressed today, ladies and gentlemen. He's not content to mix the various aspects of his life to inspire people to learn and go forward and make the planet a better place. I don't know. You're thinking about steering the car into the bridge abutment and collecting insurance, aren't you? That's the look on your face. Wham!
You know, when you put it that way, I really do sound like an asshole.
Okay.
This is Consilience with Pete and Charlie, a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
The unity of knowledge. I always like to say that part.
You can find us on Facebook, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can always get in touch with me or Pete if you look on Twitter and other social media.
And can you also find us on Tumblr at peteandcharlie.tumblr.com?
Thank you.